All right. Good morning. Good morning. I tell you what, we've had church this morning. I hope you have enjoyed church at home. But I cannot just ignore what just happened here. I just can't ignore it. It is my understanding that paper covers rock. This could go down as one of the greatest controversies in church history. The director of children's ministry rigged the game. And by the way, for those who did not know and may be watching, that are watching online, Crystal is the director of children's ministry here at Grace Community Church. Yeah, give her a hand. Yeah. Well, a very dear old friend of mine, brother in Christ, Greg Childress, used to have a saying that he would use quite often at a time like this. If this service hasn't lit your fire, your kindling's wet. It's been a worship time. It's been a time of celebration. That's all that needs to be said. And praise God for it. Praise God for the gifts and abilities that he gives those and those that are willing to use those gifts and abilities for his glory. So today, out of the quarantine diary, I just have one note. This is from the diary of someone who's been quarantined, okay? I get to take the garbage out. I'm so excited, I can't decide what to wear. More to come. Stay tuned. More to come on the quarantine diary. Let's pray together. Father, we do have joy because we're a blessed people. Because of the relationship that we have with you through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, may we understand that's what Christianity is all about. That's the very essence of the Christian faith, is a personal relationship with the living God. And Lord Jesus, you have made that possible through your great sacrifice, your indescribable sacrifice and gift to us. You suffered, you died, you paid the penalty for my sins and all who have sinned, which is all. And Father, we know that you raised your Son from the dead as your stamp of approval that the debt has been paid. And now through the gift of the Holy Spirit who draws us into that relationship, I pray that the Holy Spirit will have free reign in the hearts and minds who are attending this service either live or via media. And the Father, the heart that probably needs change the most is mine. So have your way with me. We pray for those who are sick. We do pray for those who are struggling with loneliness. We pray for those who are struggling through this time of separation and even isolation. But Father, may they lean on you and may they find your grace to be always sufficient. We look forward to coming back together. We do, Father. It's been a long stretch, but you've been a faithful God, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, last week we took a look at Thomas, most commonly known as Doubting Thomas, which I think is unfortunate that he would be remembered for that. It's kind of like remembering that Peter is the one who sank when he walked on the water, rather than remember him as the only one that had guts enough to get out of the boat in the first place, and the one who would later or would make that great profession of faith that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. But yet we want to remember him for sinking. You know, folks, that's a tragedy in the church today, isn't it? That's a tragedy in the church. We are more often to remember the mistakes than we are the good things, the God-glorifying moments. Well, I think this is what today's message really is all about. as Jesus restores Peter. Jesus didn't want Peter to live with that stigma over his head, with that literally a curse, self-imposed though as it were, of being the denier of Christ. And this is a lesson for all of us. We watched as Jesus restored the faith of Thomas last week. Today we're going to look at how Jesus will restore the faithfulness of Peter. Two men, two people just like you and me, hurt, disappointed, disillusioned, confused, and the Savior is going to bring healing, hope, and a future, just like he did with Thomas. The background of this story, a night of defeat, is about to end with a morning of decision. If you would like to stand at the reading of God's Word this morning, you may do that in this meeting place or at your home. In John chapter 21, beginning in verse 1, we are going to read together the entire account of this encounter up to the restoration of Peter. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Verse 3. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." Now I said fishing. I think Peter said fishing. We here in Kansas go fishing. Amen? Back to the text. They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Then Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord. He put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far off from land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now one of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" None of them. Notice that verse, please. Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. And the story continues. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you that when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Father, we pray that you would bless the reading of your word. And by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, you will open our hearts, enlighten us, enable us to understand this great, profound process of teaching, process of transformation, ultimately the restoration of Peter. And may we find ourselves in this story, Father. And may you deal with us likewise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we're going to begin with a very, very simple point. Actually, all three are very simple. I keep them that way so that I can understand them. There are times when we have to go back in order to move forward. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever been stuck in the mud or stuck in the snow or just stuck somewhere. And what we generally do, what I generally do, is just step on the gas harder, right? That doesn't always work. But we usually end up rocking. We go back a little bit so that we can go forward. We go back a little bit so we can go forward. Now, the point of this is that we hope we realize it's going to improve as we go forward, and the way out is going back. That's not what this example is all about. We rock a little bit. We go back so we can go forward. And then when you just get that thrill. Don't you have it? You know, when you've rocked about four times, and all of a sudden, it starts moving. And you really have trouble keeping your foot off the gas now. You know, you really want to lay it to it. But that progress is a simple, silly illustration as we're moving forward. And that's where Peter is. He's stuck. And he doesn't really know how to get out. And you know what? I think he wants to. I'm not trying to interpret his heart here at this point. But he just doesn't know what to do. So Peter's going to go back. He's going to go back. Now, this principle is true in two ways in Peter's life. Peter makes a decision, number one, to go back to fishing. And the second part of going back is that's exactly what he has to do in order to deal with his past failures. He has to go back. He has to go back to the fire. He has to go back to those three denials. That's the journey that Christ is going to take him on. Excuse me, guys, I bet my mic was off. Is it on now? Well, we had the pulpit mic. I'm sorry. Back to the point. The first decision, John 21, verse 3, Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." Now, again, Peter's been criticized for this. And he's been criticized for dragging along all the rest of the guys with him. You know, is this the proof of a good leader? He's taking them all back to fishing. Now, I have one gentleman here in the sanctuary this morning, and he already brought it up, so I'm going to use it. He was dealing with some bullheaded cattle this week, okay? If I remember right, they are classified stupid, okay? Well, I don't want to call anyone stupid. I will just say that most of us lack a little sense once in a while, okay? How's that? That clean it up enough? Stan, I'll ask you a question now. Let me present the scenario. You left everything. You walked away from the farm. And you said to this man that you believed was the Messiah, "I'm going to follow you wherever you go. Matter of fact, I will even die for you." But he didn't deliver. He did not meet your expectations of the Messiah. Yes, he had risen. We have multiple appearances of the Lord being risen from the dead. The disciples recognize that he has risen from the dead. But folks, listen, at this point, that's still not sufficient. And here's the reason for that. The Romans are still in charge. Everything is still going on just like it was. He has not established this kingdom that he talked about yet. Things just didn't work out, Stan. So what are you going to do? Stan said he's going to go back to farming, right? That's reasonable. I think we can all connect with that. I'm going to go back to farming. I got a family to take care of. I got a home to take care of. I got to put food on the table. Now, why anybody would think that farming would do all that, I don't know. But anyway, pray for our farmers, guys. You know, that's a whole new challenge in this period of pandemic. Real challenge. But the point is this. We are Peter. Peter is us. He's not doing anything different than we would have done at that time and that day. But as we can see, going back will only reveal that Peter is not where he's supposed to be and not doing what he should be doing. But he had to go back to find that out. Now, please, parentheses right here. This is not an encouragement, Lord forbid, not an encouragement to live in the past. The old saying is, there ain't no future in the past. But sometimes we have to go back in order to revisit a point in our life where we failed, where we fell short, and we got to deal with that, folks. It can keep us from moving on if we just try to bury it or suppress it or pack it away in our suitcase of miserable moments. Open it up. Open it up. Let them out. Let the Lord have them. So next, we see that a professional fisherman, by trade, by life, a professional fisherman has been up all night with a crew, and then a shepherd shows up to teach him how to fish. Now, come on, go with me in this story. This is one of those that I enjoy just really traveling along in the story. So these fishermen, and I'm telling you, folks, I believe with all my heart, I'm just going to believe, this is my personal conviction, that there is a bit of sarcasm in this question. I believe this. The Lord said, Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? Do you see it? I think in this, you know, and I'm not going to accuse the Lord of being sarcastic, but I will say that I believe this is a question. In the first place, what is it that he does not know? As we see later in the text, the disciples tell him, you know everything. Peter tells you know everything, Lord. So this is not a question presented out of ignorance, a question in search of knowledge. This question is to reveal to the failures something's wrong. Something's wrong. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? Do you see it? Just my own personal thoughts there. Jesus is not needing some information, folks. But the disciples are needing a life lesson. That's the difference. You see, every day, there are well-meaning Christians all over the world, all over this country, there are well-meaning Christians spending money, time, resources, investing in their own agenda and coming up empty. Coming up empty. Now, I don't know what exactly the disciples, the followers' a tone of voice was, but it says they answered him, no. No. We don't have any fish. Now, folks, this could just really set up a moment of gloom and doom, if we think about it. Here's this disappointed bunch of people. Here's Peter leading the pack, the epitome of failure, right? Here's this guy that's leading this other group back, and they go out. They've been up all night, caught nothing, and then this guy literally stands on the shore and appears to just mock them just a little bit. Second point. There are times we have to experience failure in order to discover our future. John 21:6, he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. The disciples had not yet recognized him, so I find it fascinating that they did what he said. Please understand, these are not large fishing boats. These are about 6 feet across. They're small vessels. So what difference could 6 feet make? What difference can that make in the life of a believer? What difference could that possibly make? Everything. Everything. This is the old saying, this is not hand grenades and horseshoes. Close doesn't count. Close doesn't count. I am fishing on the left side of the boat, and the Lord wants me to fish on the right side of the boat. You see, being in the Lord's will is not a matter of being close. We are either in His will or out of His will. Almost as in His will, it's like being almost saved. Well, you are not almost saved. You are either saved or you are lost. You are either in isolation, separated from God, or you are in sweet fellowship with God. So Jesus takes them to this moment. And now that he's allowed them to go back, he's going to continue the lesson. I had a little experience with my dog yesterday. He had a stupid moment too. He loves to follow me wherever I go. And I was out mowing yesterday. So he likes to follow along behind the mower. He'll just run along, run all around me while I'm mowing and stuff. And I was back on the clear back side of our property and mowing. And he did something he had never done before. He crossed the fence that separates me from the pasture north of us. And so I seen him. He's still running along beside the mower, but he's on the wrong side of the fence. Now, folks, I think this is a great illustration, and it hit me right after I hit him. No. all right. There, PETA, keep those emails coming. That's all right. The preacher said he hit his dog. Oh, Lord Jesus. All right, let's move on. He's following me, but he's on the wrong side of the fence. In other words, he isn't following me. Do you see it? A silly illustration. Yeah, the dog thought he was doing okay. He's still running along, but he's not following me. He's separated from me. He's separated me by faith. I'm telling you what, folks. There's a lot of people out there got a fence up. And you think you're following Jesus. All you're doing is running along beside him out of his will. That's not following. So now here's the problem. Do you think that dog could find out where he crossed the fence at? Now, I'm not trying to usurp the authority of our Lord, but just use this as a human example of a divine action, all right? Does that make sense? He couldn't find out how to get back across. I had to show him. And that was a tedious task. He wanted to come across, but he couldn't find his way. So I finally got him back to a place in the fence. I knew I could get him through. And so I start working him through, and I get his front legs through. And then I very gently, very lovingly grab him by the nape of the neck and persuade him on through the hole in the fence. Hey, folks, please take this moment seriously. Every once in a while, Jesus needs to grab us by the nape of the neck and pull us back through a hole that we've gone through. Amen? Praise God for Asher. And as soon as I got him on the other side of the fence, he ran to the house. He was done. John proclaims, it is the Lord. And what does Peter do? What does he do? This guy just can't stay in the boat. Every time he gets on the lake, he's got to get out of the boat and do something. So he gets out of the boat. He swims to shore. Everybody else follows. They got to do all the work now. They got to bring all the fish and everything. Now, please don't miss this. The Lord immediately begins with an invitation. Come and have breakfast. Come and have breakfast. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? The first thing he said was come. Guys, that's always the first thing Jesus says, because that's where it all starts. That's where it all starts. Come. Come unto me, all you who are weak and heavy laden. I will give you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come. Come. This moment is so rich, so beautiful. And the third point is this. There's never a bad time to have a good talk with Jesus. There's never a bad time to have a good talk with Jesus. This moment, he took the bread and he gave it to them. Any reminders here? He took the fish and distributed them. Any reminders here? What are the disciples thinking? Are they remembering the feeding of the multitudes? Was there a moment of reflection in the broken bread? He's taking them back. He's taking them back. But then he turns to Peter. He turns to Peter. Peter's belly is full. Now his heart is about to be fed. John 21:15, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" I'm going to make a very quick reference, a very quick note. I am not going to go into a discussion on languages. I'm not going to go into all the different forms and tenses of love. I'm going to tell you the point of this whole conversation is to establish Peter's first love. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. Most often I find that some of those words that people like to dwell on are interchangeable, used interchangeably throughout the New Testament anyway. So Peter, all I want to know is, Peter, this is my question. Do you love me supremely? Do you love me supremely? Supremely? He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." But the question that really sticks in my mind, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these? The very first question out of his mouth. What are these? Who are these? There's all kinds of ideas here, and none of them bad. But here's what we can conclude. Scripture doesn't say. So these could be the other disciples. Boy, that'd be a shocking moment, wouldn't it? Do you love me more than the rest of these disciples? Peter, do you love me more than these fish? Peter, do you love me more than the boats? I mean, you could go on and on and on with this. What are these? You see, folks, the point of this, I think, is we all got to decide what these are. Because we all have these in our lives. These things, these moments, these possessions that stand between me and my relationship with Christ. That is what the these are. Are the second and third questions presented to stand against the three denials? Maybe, I think very probably. One author says, to serve Jesus, you need to love him more than anything else. These represent something different to each of us. But we need to ask ourselves, if there is anything in our lives more important than our relationship with Jesus, Jesus is basically asking Peter where he fit in Peter's life. What is my place in your life, Peter? What priority am I in your life? How far down am I on the list of things you care about? Do you hear me, people? How far down the list am I? And I believe that he would ask each of us, how much do you love me? How many things in your life are more important to you than I am? Tough question. And it's one that we all need to answer. We all need to answer. But at this point, Peter is standing before the one whom he had denied. The one who looked at him sitting by another fire not too long ago. The one who had warned him of his denial. And after his third denial, Luke records this. Listen to this penetrating moment. Luke 22, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. At this point, there's nobody else in the room. There's nobody else in the courtyard. Jesus turns and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times, and he went out and wept bitterly. Don't you think Peter is at that moment right now? Don't you think he's there sitting by the fire with the Lord looking right at him, eyeball to eyeball? The one who looked as the cock crowed now looks on the one who denied him with love, compassion, forgiveness, and restoration. The one who denied him got this response. Peter, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to restore you.
And the summary of this story is how a great shepherd catches a fisherman. Peter, from now on, you will be a fisher of men and a shepherd of my flock. And please note this ending statement. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And Peter, this the end of Scripture, and Peter, you will not fail me again. Even in your death, God will be glorified. Now, there's all kinds of tradition and very reliable traditional stories, but we chalk them up to that because it's not found in Scripture. Let me emphasize that. But history, tradition, tells us that Peter was crucified. But he was crucified upside down because he refused to be crucified in the same manner as his Lord and as his Savior. How about all of us having to sit down with Jesus today? How about we gather around the fire and just have a talk with Jesus? Let's take a moment and see if we really love him supremely. See, these questions leveled at Peter, maybe he had a special calling in Peter's life. I recognize that. I believe that's true. But folks, the calling is extended to all who want to follow Jesus. We need to love him supremely. Are we ready to do it Jesus' way, even if it doesn't always make sense? What difference can 6 feet make? What difference is the width of a boat? Well, that fence was a big difference between me and my dog because it had separated us. And a very silly, simple, earthly example can be applied to a heavenly truth. We can be separated from Jesus and still be trying to follow him out of the flesh. Are you fishing on the right side of the boat? Are you ready to heed the Lord's command? And I quote John 21:19. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me. Follow me." And I may add that that goes beyond the good times. That goes beyond the sweet times. That goes beyond the times of when we believe we're experiencing the richest blessings of God. That goes beyond the easy times. Let me tell you when it gets harder to follow Jesus. It gets harder to follow Jesus in worldwide pandemics because we begin to ask questions. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not sure I agree with all the decisions that's been made, but that's not really the point of this message. God didn't call me to follow a government. He called me to follow the Lord. He called me to follow the Lord. And I got to trust him. I got to trust him. And I could tell you, and time does not permit, nor do we want to go into that right now, but there's been a lot of times I didn't want to follow him. I did not want to follow him because I didn't like the way he was going. I can tell you by testimony, those times didn't work out very good. Matter of fact, they didn't work out at all. Because see, once you're a follower of Jesus Christ, nothing else is ever going to satisfy. Do you hear me? Nothing else is ever going to satisfy once you have made a commitment to follow Jesus. He's the living water and the bread of life. And if you don't want to thirst again, and if you don't want to be hungry again, spiritually speaking, then he's worth following. Father, we thank you for the time that we've had here this morning. I pray that if there's anyone out there hearing, listening to this message, that they hear your invitation. Not the guy behind the pulpit. Father, this is your invitation. Lord Jesus, this is your request. Come. Come. And may they respond. Father, may you respond. You out there listening today or in the future to this message, may you respond with an affirmative yes. Yes, Lord. Where else will I go? Because you hold the words of life. Peter said that one day too. And I know this. Those sea billows roll. Those sea billows roll. We can still have peace. And we can still have joy. Thank you, Miss Crystal. We can still have joy. So come today. It's never a bad time to have a good talk with Jesus.